JFK. This is the Don and Mike Show.
This is what you do. Go to Rotterdam, then you go to Amsterdam, then you go down the road to my city. That's right. It's a little place called I Don't Give a Damn.
The Don and Mike Show.
Subsisting on a solid diet of quickies. Don and Mike.
All right, are you ready, Mike?
I'm ready. I'm excited. I'm really excited to...
Here we go.
I like this. I like it when we have a mystery guest for me.
And she's not even a mystery guest. I'm just going to announce who she is.
You're
going
to get right to it.
Yeah, it's like Rich Little with you.
Okay. But it's not.
Someone who
I'm
going to
be excited about this.
And have been very fond of for many years.
All right.
She's got a brand new book out. I think she got a DVD she's going to be promoting. And I first loved her in Swamp Thing. Here is Adrienne Barbeau.
Oh, lovely.
Now, did I sell it?
You sold it perfectly. I love this lady.
Adrienne
absolutely.
Barbeau.
Hello.
Baby.
Oh, yes. We are hot for you. We can't say it any other way, Adrienne.
That's nice to hear.
I mean, that's really, and we have been for a long time.
And for those of us who like to take our Adrienne Barbeau seriously and worship at the temple of Adrienne Barbeau in the Beach Towel Club, probably love Escape from New York with Kurt Russell. That perhaps, in your great career, the thing that I love the most. Anyway, Adrienne Barbeau, everybody. And yeah. Ain't she wonderful?
How are you?
I'm great.
And she's written a book, and the Maud thing is out on DVD now.
Yeah.
So let's finally talk to the great Adrienne Barbeau. God, I want you.
That's all it's going to be.
I have wanted you since the first time I saw you on Maud.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you were probably 2 years old.
No, hold on. I'm almost 50.
Well, let's see.
That was, that really was... I mean, I guess, would you call it a spinoff of All in the Family? Because it was technically, wasn't it?
It was a spinoff, yes.
It was technically a spinoff, but it was so much, it was so much different than a lot of spinoffs to follow, because it really was a show of its own. It really was, kind of cutting edge, actually, in a lot of ways. Didn't it go a little further and blaze some new trails when Maud came out?
It really did. We dealt with everything from medical malpractice to plastic surgery to abortion. We were very much we were there, right there in the forefront of all of the hot potato issues. But we were funny, first of all.
Right.
So, you know, people watched because it was entertaining. We weren't beating anybody over the head with it.
You know, you see the shows now that are kind of satirical. You see shows like A Daily Show with Jon Stewart or the Colbert Report on Comedy Central. You see those shows. It seems to me that back in those days, you got the same thing. There's kind of a political agenda, and frankly, it was a left-leaning political agenda that was done through those kind of shows, through sitcoms, and you really don't see that at all anymore in situation comedies. It doesn't exist.
No, I mean, the climate of the country has changed so much. I mean, you couldn't get it on.
Yeah, probably
couldn't. And you wouldn't see the same kind of show even on cable, because... I think if they were trying to do the same thing in comedy on cable, we'd be dealing with nudity and language and all of the things that we didn't have on Maud. So it was pretty unique, and it holds up, I think, if
sure
you watch
does.
The DVD.
But before we move on and talk about your new book, and we want to promote your book, which, and I don't know if you knew this, that Adrienne was originally in Greece, but before we get to that, and that's what the movie is about, I really have to know, what was it like when you were shacking up, dating, however you put it, Burt Reynolds? What was he like? And also, are you aware how many guys bought the DVD of Swamp Thing? just for you. You can answer both. I'll hang up and listen.
Well, the answer to the second question is I'm not aware of how many guys bought it. And actually, the original DVD of Swamp Thing was pulled almost immediately after it was released.
The thing is, it's Swamp Thing. Well, Buzz, you bought me the DVD.
I remember.
The reason I have the DVD is that Miss Barbeau is topless in it. And is like the best 6 seconds of my life. it really, really is. Okay, and a lot of Adrian.
And the answer to the first question is you got to buy the book.
There we go.
If you want to know about Bert.
All right, let's get to the book. Your book is called There Are Worse Things I Could Do. And is this a biography of your life?
It's a memoir. It's not a, you know, soup to nuts autobiography with me. You know, I was born on such and such a day. It's a series of pieces, stories, most of them, I think, funny, and all of them sort of odd and unique, I think, because they're about experiences in my life that that were odd and unique.
I will tell you what it is about you that captured me and still captures me about you, is that you're very feminine and very beautiful, but you also have a very, I don't want to say tomboy side to you, because I don't want to in any way put you off, but you have a side of you that makes me think that if I was ever with you, that if I did anything, you would just like, just the hand would come out, and it would be hand on your hand on my face, and it would be, and it would
you mean
be,
you're saying you think she'd slap you around? Is
it
that
would
what
be
it is?
Okay with me? She, Adrienne Barbeau,
a tough lady.
I shouldn't say that, like she's not here; she's on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
She's the perfect mix of being feminine mm-hmm. while being kick your ass at the same time.
Yeah. Oh well, thank you very much.
And the other thing that I just Mike, did you know she's related to Stevie Van Zandt?
I didn't know that.
Steven is my brother-in-law.
My
husband's brother.
Right? Robbie, yep. Robbie told me that from The Sopranos.
How many brothers are in that family, Adrian?
There's just two.
Just Billy and Steven.
Just Billy and Steven,
okay.
Yeah. There are a lot of other Van Zants that show up, you know.
A big family,
but,
though, right?
They're not all related, yeah.
Adrian, can I ask you about a joke that we tell on the show all the time? You tell me if you think this joke is funny or not.
Yeah, okay.
Hey, Mike?
Yes.
What's the difference between Beatrice Arthur and an old shoe?
What's that?
You could eat an old shoe if you had to.
Bada bing! There it is. You don't have to laugh at that. That's right. I don't think you are, actually.
You don't have to laugh.
Well, I mean, you've had quite the ride in show business, though. I mean, you've done a lot of stuff. And I mean, you really did come up the hard way, didn't you?
I've done a lot of different things, I think, which is, you know, which is not usual for most people. I mean, I've just bounced all over. I started out as a singer, you know, entertaining the armed forces in what was in those days the Orient, you know, Southeast Asia. And then I ended up on Broadway.
What? I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Oh, then I ended up on Broadway, and the name of the book comes from the song that I sang in Greece. I was the original Rizzo, so Rizzo sings There Are Worse Things I Could Do in the second act.
You know, can I ask you a Broadway question? Because I think I may have seen you on Broadway, which is pretty cool. That's the first, as a matter of fact, it's how long did your run in Fiddler on the Roof last? How long were you in that show?
I was in Fiddler for 2.5 years, but I wasn't in the original company. The show had been running about 4 years when I went in. Bette Midler was playing Title, and I was playing Huddle. So I was there from 1968 until...
Was Topol playing the role of Tevye?
No.
Okay, so I didn't see you.
You didn't see. I was there with Harry Gause.
That's still in there. I really, as far as I'm concerned, that is still the greatest, will always be the greatest, and nothing touches it as far as a Broadway musical, and everybody should see it once in their lifetime.
I agree with you. Mm-hmm. I agree with you 100%.
Well, now that I've been handed your biography... Adrian Joe Barbeau, and I like that. Look at this. I'm only 12 years older than you are, darling. Or you're only 12 years older than me, I should say.
I'm 12 years older than you.
I mean,
are you asking? Well, she's a happily married woman, though. I mean, you are happily married, right?
I am. Okay. I am the mother of 2 10-year-olds and a 23-year-old, but 10-year-old twins.
10-year-old twins.
Oh, God, to be reborn as one of those children. Can you imagine? Mommy. Mommy.
You're really infatuated with this woman.
He always has.
Have I not? This is nothing new.
No, this is not. Well, we both are, I think. We really are.
Most guys, Adrian, do you mind the fact that, and I hope you're not put off by that.
I mean, you are kind of a sex symbol. You really are, and you have been for a long time.
That most guys think, hey, you're funny, you're ballsy, you're a good actress, but the first thing you go, Adrian Barbeau. Whoa!
I mean, do you get tired of that?
No.
Of course you don't.
Good.
I never really took it seriously, though, and in fact, I talk about it in the book. I never saw myself that way. I mean, a sex symbol to me was Sophia Loren or Raquel Welch, or, you know, in the days that I was doing a lot of television, Lonnie Anderson. And if you look at my career, I have honestly, I've done two roles where I had a love scene. One was with a monster.
Right, right.
The other one was with a teenager. I mean, I was, you know, with Dean Carnival just a couple of years ago.
Well, you know, I'm curious.
Oh, yeah, you're good on that.
That was a great show. I'm curious when you're doing Maude, because really this is the way, and we're telling you the way guys our age were thinking about you when we were watching Maude. And I remember it very, very vividly. And I was curious as to, you know, in the great Hollywood machine, if there weren't producers or people in the business that were trying to, that ever approached you and kind of wanted you to go in that direction, or did it just not happen?
It never came up.
Oh,
you
really?
Know, it was just I signed to do Maude, and I signed a 5-year contract, and
right.
You know, I was just concentrating on trying to get laughs and be a good actress. And and then when Maude went off the air, I wanted to do features. And in that was in 1978. And in 1978, if you were on television in a series, nobody would see you for film work, you know. So I had to turn down all of the TV work that was offered. And by that time, I had worked with John Carpenter, who I ended up marrying, and who wrote the first feature that I ever did,
right,
which was The Fog. And so somehow I sort of got typecast. I went from being a Broadway actor to a comedian, and then got typecast as a genre actress, you know, a horror film scream queen. And each step has just been, I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, really.
No rhyme or reason.
Well, how do you feel? I mean, really. I mean, I
know
you're
just hot as balls. You are just hot as balls, though.
How do you feel about your career, though? Seriously, you sound like you're kind of, I mean, I'm not sure I'm getting, are you happy with it? I mean, do you wish it had gone differently, or what?
I feel as though I have never worked a day in my life.
Okay.
I have just had such a good time. And then when the writing came along, which, again, I talk about it in the book, I sort of fell into completely without intent. I mean, I lost my closest friend to cancer, and I was just looking for something to do, and so I signed up for a writing class, never thinking in my life that I would ever end up writing.
About your book, which you mentioned here, is called There Are Worse Things I Could Do. You get on Amazon.com. We'll have a link on our website, DonandMikeWebsite.com. You mentioned when it brought up Burt Reynolds, it's in the book. Do you write anything in the book in any way that's unflattering about anybody that we would know?
Yeah, is there any dirt?
You'll have to read the book.
No, that's a yes. That's it.
And if you don't want to read it, you can go to cdbaby.com and you can hear my voice. I did the audio book of it as well.
Oh, well,
that's great.
You know what I call that? I call that bathtub reading.
Well.
Hey, can I ask you one Maude question?
Sure.
You know, when you were doing that show, I never, you know, I was not aware of like tabloids or anything behind the scenes, and I don't think they had anything about that. But you had kind of a good tension with her on camera on that show. Did you have any tension with her off camera? I'm very curious, and please don't tell me I have to read the book.
No. I love Bea. I mean, we had, and I do talk about Maude quite, you know, there's a whole chapter there, but most of it is, we really had a great time working together, all of us, and we're still all close friends.
She's a ballsy, brassy babe, isn't she?
She's a strong lady and a brilliant comedian. And she is, I mean, those are the feet at which I learned my craft, you know. The bare feet. Bea doesn't like to wear shoes.
She wore big
shoes. Oh, no.
But she was not wonderful in terms of acting, but I didn't appreciate until later on when I guested on other series that she's an extremely professional actor, and the you know, we all loved showing up for work and doing the work. It was a good experience.
Well, and the last thing, again, I think I mentioned it, but Escape from New York, which went from being like a cult film to being a film that, you know, I really, when Escape from L.A. came out, I was like camping out for that and was like supremely disappointed, but that's neither here nor there. And that movie, Escape from New York, were you married to John Carpenter when you're making that movie?
I was. Yes.
Are you cool enough with your relationship with him where you're not like Alec Baldwin and Kim
Basinger? We're good friends.
Then if we could talk about that for a second, what was that like? Because I remember when I saw that movie, I went, God, I have never seen anything quite like that where it's like half goof, half serious, mm-hmm. and it was a movie that was so cool, not everybody knew about it, and if you knew about it, you were in the club. Mm-hmm. What was that like?
Oh.
I know it's a good question, isn't it? Or we could just talk about how you are just hot as balls.
Read the book.
Read the book? Okay.
We shot Escape from New York in St. Louis. I don't know if you know that, but there is only one film, one scene in the film that was shot in Manhattan, and that's the scene that takes place at the Statue of Liberty. Everything else was St. Louis. John needed an area of the country that was really bombed out, and there was a part of St. Louis that was in pretty bad disrepair, and I was only there about 3 weeks, I guess. I think the filming was only maybe six or seven altogether, but shot almost all of it there. Well, and it was his second film with Kurt, I think. He had worked with Kurt. John directed the miniseries of Elvis with Kurt Russell.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yes, and
we did not know that.
That's how they met. And he had to fight to get Kurt into Escape because the studio wanted... Charles Bronson wanted to do it, and I think the studio wanted Tommy Lee Jones, and John.
It's amazing when you hear names that come up for roles in movies.
Because
if somebody's really established a character, then it just doesn't fit
at
all.
There's only one snake. It's Kurt Russell.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Yeah. But he had just come off of doing the Disney films and used cars, I think, and so the studio wasn't seeing him as an action adventure hero at all.
You're doing a lot of writing now. You're going to do any more acting, or you know?
Yeah, I just finished doing Rob Zombie's Halloween.
Okay,
oh, good.
And,
cool.
I've got three other movies in the can waiting release, and two more that I'm going to start on in another month or so, and I've just turned in my first novel that I am co-writing. It's a vampire novel.
Oh, good. So you're still going to do a little of the... is that because of, you know, did you get inspired because you've done some of the Scream Queen stuff?
That's why I did it, you know. Someone approached me and said, you should be writing for your, your 18 to 35-year-old fan base that goes to see The Fog and and all of those. And so I sat down with a fellow named Michael Scott, who's from Ireland, and we wrote Vampires of Hollywood.
Jesus, you're busy.
It has truly been a pleasure. We have to break it. It truly has been a pleasure meeting you. Love you long time. the book is called There Are Worse Things I Could Do.
And if you want to find out about her and Burt Reynolds, it's in the book.
Right.
Yes, thank you.
Good luck to you, Adrian. We really enjoyed having you on the show.
Thanks, guys.
Hot as balls.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye,
honey. Bye-bye.
Very nice. That's a good one. You sold that one perfectly.
Yeah.
I was thinking when you made the comment about TF, I was like, going to be somebody who's big and sloppy. And,
I just wrote a book based on her appearance on the show. There's a party in my pants, and everyone's coming.
She's still making movies, so you know she's still keeping herself together. Yeah. You know that? You know she's...
You know she is.
I'd like to see you.
She looked good on the view.
Did she look good on the view?
And B
was wearing slippers.
How about B?
Doesn't wear shoes.
Yeah.
Well, that's what didn't she just... B didn't like to wear slippers. Maud!
The bear.
What's that smell, Maud?
I was so impressed when I saw Bea Arthur come out on The View because she appeared to be a full head taller than everyone else.
All right, well, there's the beautiful Adrienne Barbeau, everybody.
Yeah, I share that fantasy with you. She's just kind of... She's got that whole Hollywood thing going where she's saying nice things about everybody, but... You know, that's amazing that they didn't steer her into that sex spot. Who wasn't watching Maude back, our age in the day going, right. I just want to see that button pop.
Okay, well, just let me say, Jergens time, 12 after 5. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.